Morning, Rishus. Rishus of his Keni. We mentioned in the last year the halachas of Baltolin. We discussed primarily the principal halachas of Baltolin that affect the relationship between an employer and an employee. And we mentioned that if a person doesn't pay his employee on time, then he could very well be over on a issa d'oraisa of Baltolin, a lav, and be mevatel an afek. Now I'd like to explore this issa slightly further, and we'll realize that it doesn't only apply to the relationships in employment, but it's in fact far more reaching. We mentioned in the last year that these halachas only apply in dealings between Yidden, and if the dealings between Goyim, then the only halachas which a person has to bear in mind, although they're not to be taken lightly at all, are that one doesn't in any way enter a situation where one could perhaps possibly make a chilul Hashem. But as far as the lav and asei is concerned, that doesn't apply to goyim. Now the Mishnah in Bav Metzias Dafkuf Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph, I've copied on the back page here, a couple of things. The Mishnah in Dafkuf Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph says as follows. The top thing number one: Echad Tzra Odom, Echad Tzra Behema, Echad Tzra Kelim. Whether a person is hiring people, in other words, employment, or he's hiring an animal, or he's hiring kelim, Yeshu Mishum Beyematit and Sorry. He has a mitzvah asay to pay for the hiring on time. Furthermore, he's got a lav that if he doesn't pay for hiring them on time, then he can in fact be over on the lav. Now then the mission continues other halachas which we've mostly covered already. Now in fact this mission is interesting. If you look at the pasuk, the pasukim don't seem to mention at all any reference to anything other than employment. When it comes to Baltolin, everyone's heard about Baltolin, and if you ask people what is it, they'll tell you, you have to pay your wages on time. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, the Gemara says, where do we know that this lav of Baltolin encompasses also rent? So the Gemara says as follows, well, quotes the Pasuk, Isasha Yisrasochi Oni Ve'evyon Melchicho Mikercha Sheba Etzecho, that one of the lavim is learned from this Pasuk, Isasha, and at the end of the Pasuk it says, Asher Ba'etzecho, that which is in your land, and therefore the Gemara says, it's a brisa, the Gemara says, that which is in your land, anything you rent which can be in your land is included in the lav. And therefore we say, just like kelim are in the land, just like animals are in the land, so therefore anything you rent which can be in the land is included in this lav and in the asik. Now the Ramah takes this one step further. The Ramah says, since as far as the face value of the psukim is concerned, it only is referring to employment, and the whole source that we know that it's more far reaching than employment encompasses other areas of hiring is from the word asher ba'etzecho, that which is in your land. So he says you have to take it literally. You can't learn more than that. That's what is actually written. So therefore you learn kol asher ba'etzecho, anything that is in your land, v'lo etzecho mamish, but not the land itself. So therefore the Ramah learns from the Pasuk in the Gemara that when it comes to renting land, renting property, there is no lav of Baltolin and no mitzvah asay of the yomitzit and sorry. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Cheshmishra and Simon Shin Lamates here as well. I printed it on the back. So here on the back, if you look, there's a ketzos which we'll do shortly. But in the middle of the ketzos is the mechaber number two. The mechaber says mitzvah lof tiskasochid is money. There's a mitzvah asay to pay wages on time. Vimachoy over belav, and if you delay payment, then you're over on a lav. Echad tzra odom, whether employment, or behema, or kelim, or renting animals or vessels, avlal tzra karka yesh mi she'oimer she'ina over. So the Mechaber here quotes the opinion of the Ramah. He doesn't quote any contradicting opinion, that when it comes to renting land, there is an opinion who holds you're not over. And as we said, that's the opinion of the Ramah. And the reason you're not over is because it says Hashem ha'etzecha, that which is on your land, but not the land itself. However, the Vilna Gaon argues with this Mechaber, and the Vilna Gaon quotes Yerushalmi, and from Yerushalmi he deduces that in fact the lav does in fact include even renting land, and he says, "I, what do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara says Hashem ba'etzecho." So he says that is a brisa, but our Mishnah learns from a different source, and therefore since it's learning from a different source, we do not go with that brisa in the Gemara, and we include in the issa land rental. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan paskens like the Vilna Gaon. And so does the Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer Avos Chesed. They both passed in that the halacha is, when it comes to renting land, if a person doesn't pay the rent on time, he'll be over a lav and a vatel and masei. Now this whole machlokes between the Mechaber and the Vilna Gaon is strictly regarding land itself. Empty land, for example, if a person wants to rent a car parking lot or a five-a-side pitch or something like that, where all he's renting literally is the ground. So that's when we have this machlokes. However, there's a very important ksos. The ksos, which I've copied here on the back, just to give you a little bit of background before we read it so it makes a bit more sense, there's a, as you all know, there are various areas in halacha where there are differences whether something has a din of karka, whether something has a din of land, of ground, or whether something has a din of metalklin, something has a din of things which are movable objects. And there's a big machlokes how we perceive buildings. What is the din of buildings? Do we say that buildings, since now they're attached to the ground, right? You have this shul, you have a building, office block, whatever it is, you can have 30 stories, so it seems a bit absurd to have a halam in it that you're going to give it a din of metalklin. It's fixed to the ground, it's a massive building. But nevertheless, since originally it was created out of things which were metalklin, how do you make a building? You take bricks, you take cement, wood, glass, and you put it all together and you come up with a building. So do we say that the din of a building goes after what its status is now, which is karka? Or do we say it goes after its status of what it was created with? It was created with metalklin, and therefore its din should be metalklin. And this is a far-reaching nafkamina. It affects whether there's a din shmira on karka, because we say in shmira be karka. So do we say that if, for example, a person's looking after a house, and chas v'shalom there's a fire in the house, and the walls get burnt, is he chayav to pay? He didn't do it himself, but he was naked, he was what meant to be watching over this house. So we say ein shmir b'karka, you're not chayav to pay. So if a house has a din of karka, you won't be chayav to pay. If it has a din of metal, then you will be chayav to pay. There's nafkiminis legabi shvur. There's various different nafkiminis. So let's read the ksais. The ksais says as follows, number 3. Starting from the right hand side and moving on to the left hand column. So karka, that's what the mechab is talking about. The Torah kosu b'shem harama. So it's all quotes for Gemara, which we've said, from the pasuk, everything which is in your land, but not the land itself. How do you know it includes renting other things other than employment? Everything that's in your land. And since renting land cannot be included in everything that is in your land, rather that is the land itself, so therefore we do not have a right to include that in the ism. That's up to here has been the Ramah. Says the Ksois, the Ladas HaPoiskim, the Bayis Mikri Tolush, according to those opinions who hold that in this machlokes which I mentioned, how we perceive the din of buildings, do they are they considered Tolush, which means separated, in other words the metalkalim, or are they considered Karka? So according to those opinions that consider buildings to be separate, to be metalkalim, given shu tolush lebsoiv chibu, because originally it was separated, it was metalkalim before it was attached to the ground. So what he hasn't mentioned yet is, according to those opinions, then obviously there will be baltolim, because kol shabat tzecho includes all metalkalim, and we perceive a building as metalkalim. Ba'afidu lefim ha'shekosa paramon b'simim tzadihei, debai is havle din karka. So in one of the cases where there's a machlokes, there are more pastimes quite clearly that we look at a house as being karka, because now it's fixed to the ground. So therefore if we look at it as being karka, there shouldn't be baltolin. Says the ksois, akati yesh lechalek bein isra lemamoina. Nevertheless, we have to differentiate between isurim and mamon. When is the Ramah talking about? He's speaking about in mamon dikar lachos. But here, the inyan isur, tolush lebsev chibru din tolush avi. When it comes to isra, when we look at buildings which were originally separate and now they're fixed, we have to say they have a din of being separate. Therefore, says the Ksos, the Fiyani Estati, to Hochel in an Issa Baltonim, true Issa Deiraisa. Here, when it comes to Baltonim, which is an Issa Deiraisa, and if it's an Issa Deiraisa, we have to take the most stringent opinion we can, Sophic Deiraisa, we go Lechumer. So, therefore, Yesh Lochush is our Sapoyskin to have Ledin Tolush. Therefore, we have to worry about those who are of the opinion that every building has a din of metalkalim, and therefore, says the Ktzeis, it says Paskins La Locha, that all buildings, not only according to the Vilna Gaon, who says any land, because he doesn't agree with the whole limit of the Ramah in the first place, he says, we don't learn from the Gemara, and we learn from the Yerushalmi, and therefore every land has a lach of baltolim. But the Ktzeis says, even according to the Mechaber, that which he says, that there's Yesh Misha Omer, that there's no din of Baal Tanur when it comes to land, that only includes plain land, but something which has been built on the ground, which is most cases today of rental, I would assume are going to be office spaces, apartments, houses, whatever it is. So all those things are all buildings which are all created from metalkalim. So as the Ksois, we have to be machme, like the opinion that such a construction is looked at what it's created with. It's created with metalkalim, and therefore there'll be a lav of metalkalim if a person doesn't pay rent on time. Now it's worth mentioning that one of the most immediate outcomes of this halacha is, let's say today, anyone here today who wants to go to the mikveh. So in the mikveh there's a sign on the door saying, well, a person is not allowed to use the mikveh without paying. Now we've learned in the last year that Bartholin only applies if there's a tviya, if there's a request to pay. Now we passed him that a sign saying before you enter you have to pay, you're not allowed to use it without paying, is quite clearly a tviya. You don't need a person actually standing here requesting verbally that you should pay. So therefore there's a tviya. Now what are you paying for when you use a mikveh? You're paying for renting the use of the mikveh, the use of the showers, and possibly the use of the towel. All those things are schius. You're paying for schius. That means if a person goes to the mikveh and he hasn't got the money on him, or he's got money and he hasn't got change and the attendant isn't there, and we learned in the last year the Chofetz Chaim paskens not having change is not a hefker, that means if he goes to the mikveh and he doesn't pay, and it comes to shkia tonight and he hasn't yet paid, then that which was meant to have been at the most for a man in Inyan of going to the mikveh is ending up being that he was over on a lav or mevatel naseh. So it comes out if a person doesn't have the right money, or there'll be an attendant there, if he won't be able to pay before sunset, it's better not to go than to go and chas v'shalom be even alav. Now, just like to, now that we mentioned that these halachas of Baal Tanur are far more reaching than just employment, they also apply to rental. So let's just recap over some of the halachas, the terms and conditions one requires to be even Baal Tanur. So we mentioned first of all that the payments have to be requested. We said that one has to request the payment in order to be over and Baal Tanur. Like you said, if there's a sign, then that's also okay. Rabbi Yashiv paskens that since the reason why a person has to request in order for there to be Issa Baal Tanur is because otherwise we say perhaps he's moichel. So he says that if a person writes a contract, whether it's a rental for a property or it's an employment contract, and in the contract it clearly stipulates that the rent or the wage is meant to be paid on whatever date it is every month, so then he doesn't have to every month call up and say, okay, where's the rent, or where's my salary, because it says in the contract every month I want to be paid on time. So therefore that constitutes a tviya, and there will be issa baal tanur even if you don't call him up at the beginning of every month to ask him for the rent, which of course then will enlarge the application of this issa. Now when is the deadline? So we mentioned the deadline is the sunrise or sunset immediately after the zman piroin, when a person has to pay. Now if a person calls in a plumber and the plumber does the job and he finishes in the middle of the day, so sunset that day will be the deadline. What happens in cases of rental, let's say properties, where you're renting property and he's meant to pay per month? So here it's very interesting. We mentioned that Baal Tanur can only be over once, at the immediate sunrise or sunset after the rental that you were meant to have paid for. So therefore, if for example when it comes to renting property, you're meant to pay on the last day of the month for that whole month, so then there will be a lav of Baal Tanur. When it comes to the last day of the month, let's say you're meant to pay the last day of the month now, the day finishes, I don't legally, if you're meant to pay by midnight, I don't know exactly how it works, let's say you have to pay by midnight, so midnight's going to be in the middle of the night, so if you haven't paid by midnight, so then you have till, that's when you're meant to pay by, you have till Alayta Shachat to pay the rent, and if you don't, you'll be over the lav. However, assuming all other conditions are met, however, what happens in a case where you're meant to pay rent on the first of the month, for the month that's passed already? So if you're meant to pay on the first of the month, for the month that's passed already, so when are you meant to pay the rent? Midnight is now when you're meant to pay. Now, if midnight's when you're meant to pay, then you've got till Alayta Shachat to pay. But that's not true, because it says in your contract you can pay the whole of the first. The whole of the first extends to midnight of the first. In which case, you can never be over Baal Tanur. For such a rental, you can never be over Baal Tanur. Because since you weren't obliged to pay in the Torah deadline of midnight, and therefore, once you're not mechuyev to pay by then, we said they'll never be over Baal Tanur. So you cannot be over Baal Tanur for such a rental. Although, as we learned, and as we'll see shortly, there will be a drabbanon if one delays payment. So as far as the lav Baal Tanur goes, you have to be very careful each case when you're looking at it, when exactly is the deadline chal.
If you pay in advance.
Now if you pay in advance, there also cannot be Baal Tanur. If you're asked to pay in advance, They cannot be baltonin for not paying in advance, but they'll be baltonin for not paying when you use something. Hopefully at the end of the shiur, if you have time, we'll look at that slightly more. Now we said that a person, another reason why a person wouldn't be baltonin is if at the time of the initiation of the contract, whether it's rental or employment, the person didn't expect to be paid on time. Like we saw in the Gemara, for example, Yom HaShut, that I know I do a job and he doesn't have the money to pay me to sell what I'm creating for him in the shuk. So al da'as ken, I'm taking on the job knowing that I'm moichel my right to pay on time. I don't have a choice, but I'm entering the agreements with that in mind. So then also there won't be a lav baltonin. We also learned that the person who is obliged to pay has to have the money in order to be over baltonin. If he doesn't have any money, he won't be over baltonin. However, we said what's called having money, having money which a person can access without creating a loss. So if, for example, a person can go to an ATM machine and take out the money, then you can't say just because he doesn't have the money in his pocket, he doesn't have money, he can clearly access money. And we also learned if a person hires to a third party, then there won't be baltonin. We mentioned in the Gemara there were some Amoraim who specially employed people using a shliach in order that they shouldn't be over the lav if they forget by mistake to pay on time. The drabonim there will be, but in order not to be over on the lav. And here's us mentioning another option which we never learned till now, and that's the shach. The shach in Simon Shin Lamateh says if a person writes in the contract, whether it's employment, whether it's rental, whatever it is, that if I do not pay on time, failure to pay on time will not result in me being over baltonin, then it works. Now, even though normally this would be problematic, because it sounds like maska mashkos b'Torah. The Torah says if you don't pay on time, you're over baltonin, and you're writing, I'm not. So what happens if I draw up a choyv and I say you have to pay me 2.5% ribis every month, and we're not over on ribis? So does that help? Clearly not. It can't be maska mashkos b'Torah. The Torah says if you do such a thing, you're over. So how here does it work to say we're not over on baltonin? The Mefarshim explained it's very simple. By writing that in the contract, it's no worse than a person who takes on employment knowing he probably won't be paid on time. By writing that in the contract, you're saying that the time when I'm meant to pay is on Rosh Chodesh, but I'm not over on baltonin if I don't pay on time. That's the equivalent of saying, but you're meichel if I don't pay on time, my right not to pay on time. Now, the trouble with that is that a lot of people won't want to write that in the contract. Right? They're going to want to be paid on time. They don't want to leave a leeway to not be paid on time. So if they decide at the time to be moichel, that's their own department. They don't oblige themselves initially upon writing the contract that they don't want to be paid on time. If you have such a person, so possibly the solution, if you want to make sure you're not over, is to do like the Gemara, is to hire to a third party using a shliach. Now, we learned that there's Issa Drabono. The Issa Drabono was created by Chazal because they were worried about cases where there is no baltonin, or baltonin's already been over and passed, and now what incentive is there to make a person pay on time? Now he can shlep. I've either been over baltonin, I wasn't over baltonin because I hired to a shliach, because I was waiting for an invoice and the invoice never came yet on the day of the, when I was due to pay, and therefore there's no baltonin. So therefore Chazal created the Issa Drabonon. We've learned that from a pasuk that al tzei melerecha leich l'shuv, don't tell your fellow man he should go and come back when really you've got the money now in your pocket. Don't tell a person you can't pay him when really you can pay him. Now we learned the differences between the Drabonon and the Deraisa. There are two main differences. One l'chumra and one l'kula. The one l'chumra, like we just mentioned, is the lav is only chal once. Either you are over or you're not over. And if you are over, you won't be over again for this actual debt of not paying the rent or the employment. However, the Drabonon is a continuous issa. Continuously, if I have the money and I haven't yet paid, I'll be over on an issa. That's the chumra of the Drabonon. The kula of the Drabonon was the Drabonon wasn't created in order to trap people and make them be over on an issa. That wasn't what Chazal had in mind. The Drabonon was created in order to act as an incentive to encourage people to get on with what they're meant to be doing. So therefore, if the reason why that person doesn't pay is because he genuinely forgot, or because he's right now so tied down he can't get around to paying. Now that obviously different people will have their own description of so tied down, but he's so tied down that he can't get around to paying. So then the Drabonon won't apply, because that wasn't what they're not looking to make you be over on an issa, chas v'shalom. What they're looking to do is to give a person an incentive, give them a push to get on with what they're meant to be doing. Now, this Drabonon, although the lav, baltonin we mentioned, only applies to rental. Rental, whether it's employment, whether it's rental of karaka, whether it's rental of properties or vessels, whatever it might be, that's the lav baltonin. We mentioned that baltonin does not apply to a metach. If it comes to a purchase, when you purchase something, there won't be baltonin. we said there's a ketzos who says that if you get someone to write something, to draw up a contract on their own paper with their own knowledge of drawing up the contract, then it could be you're not employing them to write you a contract, you're buying a contract off them. Okay, that was more possibly in the days of the ketzos where the parchments and everything plays more of a role than now, where just they can write up a contract and they can email it for you. So are you buying it there, or are you just then paying them for their work? That could be a debate. However, we said a mekap, for example, you commission a tailor to make you a suit, and he makes you the suit of his own cloth, of everything his own, so then even though you might use the words commissioning or I'm hiring you to make me a suit, we don't look at it like that. We say you're buying off him a suit. And one of the obvious nafkaminas will be that there won't be baltonim if a person doesn't pay on time. However, that said, that there's no baltonim by mekaf or halvor if a person owes you money, hasn't paid on time, there's no baltonim. But when it comes to drabonon, we're about to see that the Rabbonon is far more reaching than the Lav. If you have a look on the back page again, the Mechaber in Cheshmishu Simin Sadizayin, the Mechaber says as follows: Halacha Gimel, Also the Leiva Lichwe Yishmomen Chaveri V'Noyma Leilech V'Shuv V'Mocha Etein V'Yashitu. A person who has borrowed money and now has come the time to pay back. Obviously, before the time to pay back, you're not obliged to pay back, and he's got no right to ask you for the money, because once you do a kinyan on a debt that you have a time period when you're allowed to borrow that money, then he's got no right to that money till that time. But now that the time has come and you owe him the money and you have the money, and the reason why you're not paying the money is purely because you're procrastinating, you'll get around to it when you can get around to it, but not because you really can't get around to it now. So then says the Mechaber, there's an Issa Jabonon of telling him, go away, come back tomorrow, and I've got the money now in my wallet. You're not allowed to do such a thing. And the Smahi and other Mephoshim, the Smahi is Dalit, and other Mephoshim say that this halach is learned from our Gemara about Talim. So this is interesting. Gemara itself, you wouldn't realize this. Gemara itself, you could learn that the Drabona was only created for Baltolim. When there's no Baltolim, there's a Drabona. But in fact, we apply this Issa across the board. In fact, obviously, that means it's very far reaching. That means whether you owe a person money because you've lent him money, he's lent you money, whether you owe a person money because you buy something in a shop and you have a credit and now the time has come to pay and he's asked you to pay up and you're meant to be paying up and you're delaying paying up, whether it's because you owe money because he's done work for you or because you've rented property off him and you haven't paid him, all of these cases, if you have the money and you haven't forgot to pay, you've got the money and you're able to pay and just, you know, you're delaying getting around to payment, so if you do that, you're in fact, you want it to drop on him. It's very severe. Now, again, since we know that the source of this Mechaber is learnt out from our halacha in our Gemara, so therefore we can also learn the Kula from there. From the Mechaber itself, it doesn't say any Kula, it just says it's offered to do it. But we know that since the source of this halacha is the Drabonon, that means if a person forgot, a person owes money, he borrowed money and he hasn't yet paid it back, and he forgot to pay it back, then there won't be an Issa, because the Drabonon, that wasn't what the Drabonon had in mind. I've written down here for you that in Sefer Mamon Yisrael, in Yisrael Pinchas Botner, quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, that he says as follows: "Mishayin Meshalim Bizmanui, Himneisha Osik Bulimudi." Someone who doesn't pay up on time because he's busy learning. Ve'enay Panai Livdei Cheshbonosav Lushalim. So since he's busy learning, he thinks he doesn't have time to stop and check his account to see whether he owes anyone any money or how much he needs to pay. This is not the way to behave. And at Sarach Litzka HaGemara, he should rather close his Gemara, and not be over on this Issa Drabonon. Now this already is interesting, because we mentioned that the Drabonon doesn't apply if a person is too busy to get around paying. HaBaruch Hashem, normally, we're all very protective over the time when we're too busy to learn. We won't answer our phone, and we won't answer anything. We're too busy, now we don't want to be disturbed. And yet, Rabbi Yashin held that you should jolly well close your Gemara and not have your principles mixed up. You owe someone money, get down to pay them, don't be over on this Issa. So clearly here this is a help in a guideline in people trying to decide what's called too busy to get round to pay. Now, in summary, the most often cases where a person will come across Baal Talim are playgroups, babysitters, private rabbeim, teachers, plumbers, electricians, dry cleaners, or, as you said, property rental, or renting tablecloths for simchas, or kelim for simchas, whatever it might be. However, a lot of cases of employment or rental won't in fact have baltolim. The reason being that often when it comes to employment, the normal derech is that the boss is going to wire the money straight into the person's account. Now, if, for example, we're now in September, so let's say for the month of August, if a person works the month of August and he's meant to get paid his wage, so let's say even that the boss sends in on the last day of August into his account. It's going to take a few days till it's going to clear. That means he's not going to have the money till 3 working days, whatever it is, so 3 days after when the money is being paid for. And Al-Das came, he took on a job. He knew that when he takes on a job. That's the normal derech in the shuk. That's how people behave. There's nothing wrong with that. So that means that you're taking on a job knowing you're not going to receive the money on time for that which is being paid. It's on time for the agreement, but it's not on time for that which is being paid. In which case, there won't be a lav baltalin, and there won't be a big lasse. However, as you mentioned, there will of course be a issa jabonon, as in all the other cases, whether there is baltalin, whether there isn't baltalin. If a person delays paying the money which he owes, for whatever reason it is that he owes it, if he delays paying the money purely and simply because he hasn't got around to it yet, he's got the money, he just hasn't got around to paying, not because he's too busy, genuinely too busy, then in fact, there'll be issa jabonon. Just briefly to answer the point raised earlier, it's very common with kindergarten teachers, I'm talking about private ones at home, that they ask for the money to be paid a month in advance. In other words, you pay at the beginning of the month for the upcoming month. Now, as we mentioned, that means if you haven't paid by the first of the month, now you've broken your eschivas, because those of them who've got wiser to the way they can be mistreated normally ask you now to sign a contract at the beginning of the year. You might not look at the contract as a piece of paper, but that's what it is, it's a contract. And on the contract it says, number one, if you walk out in the middle of the year and they can't find a replacement, you have to pay for the whole year. And number two, it says that you're meant to pay in the beginning of the month for the upcoming month. So that means you're mischayev of yourself, you oblige yourself to pay. If you don't, then you've broken your obligation. However, when it comes to baltolin, there won't be baltolin because you haven't yet done the work. You pass the ein schirus mishalom and elav asoif, and therefore you only have to pay for the schirus at the end of the period agreed, and here the work hasn't yet been done, so you won't in fact be owed baltolin until the end of that month. If you tuck a delay a whole month in not paying, so then at the end of that month you'll in fact be owed baltolin. May we all be zeichet to keep these halachas properly and not keep people waiting for that which is rightfully theirs, and because that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillos and not keep us waiting.